they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. Word they be.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio Podcast. On today's episode, we're lucky enough to have the legend, the cake, Matt Lang, on the show. So, Matt, thank you for doing this.
I appreciate that, Amon. Glad we already got cake out of the way in there. I'm pumped to be on. First podcast, so I'm glad it's yours.
Cool, man. Thank you. So, where we always start off with our runner guest is, what made you want to start running competitively?
Yeah, so I went to a really small middle school, high school, where, you know, sports isn't super big. But growing up with, they always jokingly called us the triplets because I got a twin brother, Jason, and my best friend, Jordan. His older brother ran at our high school. So only sport I had really ever played was basketball. So I didn't have anything to do in the fall. I was like, might as well give this cross country thing a try. And like most other people my size, I think they quickly realized that, you know, they're better at running than any other sport. So it stuck from there. And then going to places like the running school and meeting other people who were similar backgrounds of me and just making some great friends, I realized like, yeah, this is something I want to stick with.
Right. I'm glad you brought up the running school because we were, I think you're the second ever guy. I was of the OG youth cabin. After Mike Wilkins. So what was that like in terms of your development as a runner, getting to go to the running school?
Yeah, I think about the thing about the running school and running camps, you know, in general, is it's kind of everyone's first experience with meeting people outside of maybe like their high school or their league who, you know, they realize like, oh, these guys are, you know, kind of cool. And it's nice getting to meet people that do the same thing that I do. So for me, I think the first time I went was going into my freshman year of high school, where that was my, I think that was Bertrand was there. Yes. That year. And I think it was my first of 2 years in youth cabin. So no, it had been going into eighth grade because I did 2 years of youth cabin and, you know, just meeting people who had these goals for what they wanted to do and having fun while running was something that I think kind of shocks everyone. And it just, you know, the camaraderie that comes on these runs or this times between doubles is really what makes the sport, you know, what it is. So just meeting all the guys and having fun, I think also just made me realize like there's more to this than just trying to go out and get a run in that day. Like you can actually have fun while doing it.
Yeah, I think that was key for me too. And you go from like being the outcast, the weird kid who wears short shorts to all of a sudden everyone's doing the same thing as you and you're finally like accepted in a way. So I thought that was cool too.
Yeah, I was definitely late on the short gang, but it's definitely you get there and it's normal. People walk around in tights and yeah, it's like, okay, I think I can fit in with this group.
Yeah, it makes you finally feel like one of the guys outside of like your couple running buddies that you have from home. But I think this kind of goes hand in hand with the running school as a milestone for all young runners. Tell me about this first time you rode 5 minutes in the mile.
Yeah, you told me that we were going to go over this, and I don't know if I remember the exact first time I did it. I remember the season. Okay. So it was outdoor track. I was definitely younger. It was outdoor track in eighth grade, and I think it was one of the first outdoor meets, and it was definitely a goal I'd had all year. That was my first year running indoor track. I think I'd run like 5:00-something indoors. And I ended up running 4:54 that season. But that was definitely a key point for me. I remember I went 4:54 and I ran 10:26 that year for the 3200. And, you know, that was the first time I had really ever had like real success in a sport. I was lucky enough to, since it was a smaller school, I ran varsity starting in seventh grade for track. So just being around some of the older guys and getting to compete with, you know, juniors and seniors in high school, you know, when I was in eighth grade made me realize like, okay, like I think I can be good at this. And breaking five was a huge accomplishment for me at the time. It's something I'd worked, it was the first time I'd really worked for something and it didn't like, I had to really go after it, you know, kind of for that whole year. But that kind of propelled me forward. And I remember the next time I was like, okay, that means I should be able to break four in high school.
Right.
That one didn't quite happen, but it definitely kind of started that fire burning a little hotter for me.
Yeah, it definitely makes you realize, wow, like I have some potential here. And also I can definitely relate to running with older guys helps you like get more competitive and take it more seriously, because Ryan and I were also moved up. So I think that helps you make the jump, as you would say.
Yeah. And then like you said, too, I think kind of having that good group of guys at the running school, where you'd go, you'd run with them over the summer, and then, you know, you'd go and check miles, but see how they were doing. And just since we were all around the same age, like, okay, I wanted to be the first one to, you know, try to get under five or, you know, something like that. And it, I think that also helps with it, is when you meet other people from different areas that are your age, it's, you naturally are going to get competitive with them and, you know, just have a good time with it.
Yeah. And then you get to see next year, like, oh, how'd you do this year? So-and-so at the next camp session. But you talked a little bit about how you had like a core group between your twin brother, Jason, and Jordan. What was your team like? I know you said you went to a smaller school, but what was the cross country team like?
Yeah, so like I said, it was a really small school. We ended up graduating in a class of, I think it was 44.
Wow.
It was definitely low 40s of graduating. So you knew everyone, and it was a small Catholic school. So it was grades 6 through 12, and it was co-ed, and overall it was just under 300 people. So super tiny, super, you know, close-knit. And as far as sports went, the school was definitely like not known for athletics. So when we started running, there was one older runner on the team. His name was John Azes, and he would end up running for Syracuse University. And that was kind of my first glimpse of like, okay, someone who goes on and competes at like the Division I level. So that was always a goal of mine. But then he graduated when we were in eighth grade. So starting our freshman year, me, my brother, and Jordan were always the best runner on the team. So that in itself had its challenges where, you know, you were kind of pushing yourself, but I was lucky enough to have two other guys my year that were also pushing me. So, you know, it started off with some smaller goals, like, can we try to win our school's first, you know, league championship? We were in a league called the Big Ten, not to be confused with the Division I league, but we were in the Big Ten and we had never won it. And we won it three times in a row, going undefeated in the league starting our sophomore year. So I think for us, it was just kind of always trying to get to that next check mark with those two. And then, you know, lucky enough, we were able to kind of really put together a solid team from there. Because I think people, once you get something going, they're like, oh, I think it'd be nice to be a part of that. I'd rather be on the cross country team than the football team that hasn't won a game in 5 years. So it actually became, you know, I won't say it was cool to be on the cross country team, but, you know, it was more accepted, I think, at our school than maybe other places. And we ended up having some really, you know, fun times with the guys in cross country and track.
So you go from winning the league championship, what did you say, 10 times in a row?
Yeah. So, yeah, we went undefeated 3 years in a row. But then I think we had talked about this, but, you know, where I'm from in upstate New York, right outside of Albany, Schenectady, shout out. It's in section 2 of New York State, which for those who don't know anything about high school running in New York, it's broken up into sections depending where you are. There are 11 different sections, and section 2 is right up there with the best of them. And to qualify for the state meet, you have to win as a team or qualify as individuals. So I was lucky enough to qualify for the first time as a sophomore, and I also qualified as an individual as a junior with both Jordan and Jason, but our team hadn't won. So even heading into our senior year, we had never made the state meet as a team. Me and my brother were both all state as juniors, and heading into that senior year, you know, our goal was to not only make the state meet, but we wanted to win the state meet. And Burnt Hills usually always won kind of our section. But the nice thing for us is they usually also won the state meet. So it's like, okay, if we can try to win sectionals, then we'll have a real shot at winning the state meet. And we got pretty lucky, I would say. There was a eighth grader named Jonah who would go on to run 15:45 at our 5K course that year. And I, so speaking of eighth grade, yeah, no, I still count it as my high school 5K PR. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly a little short. It's over 3 miles, not quite 5K.
Well,
but
we'll round up.
We'll round up. Yeah. So he ran 15:45 there at sectionals to be our number 4 runner. So we had 4 runners under 15:45. We were able to win that. And then we went to the state meet for our first time as a team, and we were actually able to win by, I think, a little over 20 points, which was awesome for us. It was an experience I'll never forget. But the funny thing about that, when I describe it to people, is we went into that season not ranked in the state. Like, all the rankings didn't even mention us. And then after the first invite, we were ranked first. So we went from unranked to being ranked first in our division, and fourth overall in the state. So by the time the state meet rolled around, it wasn't like we were still this underdog story. Like, the expectation was for us to win. And I had had a strained hamstring or strained groin that whole season. I wasn't able to run the day before the state meet. My brother had just gotten an x-ray on his foot. So we were kind of limping in to the end of the season. And for me, it was more of a relief. I was like, oh, thank God we didn't blow it. Like, that was my first thing, was like, I'm so glad we were able to do that. And while I was, you know, super pumped, it was more of a relief too. Like, okay, it's over with. Still the only state championship in our school history. And it was a little bit of a quick drop off. So we went from winning the league, going undefeated 3 years in a row, to I don't know if we've won a dual meet since then.
Yeah.
So it was a quick drop off, but it was an experience I'll never forget.
So how did your coach instill in you that confidence to go from unranked to like hobbling into the state meet to say like, you guys can do it today. You guys have a good shot to win this.
Yeah, I think, and it's still something I tell all my athletes is, you know, take confidence in what your teammates are doing. So having, you know, Jason and Jordan, and then throw in, you know, eighth grade Jonah, who are all running really well. And for me, it's like, okay, I'm still working out with them. I'm still doing everything with them, and them the same with me. So it's like, if one of us was falling off, but we could see the other one's like, I do everything with this guy. Like, I know I can compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always something I tried to do as an athlete, was kind of, if I wasn't having success at the moment, like, look for other people I was working with that were, because if they were doing it and I saw what they were doing day in, day out, I knew I could do it too. So we knew we were prepared to get the job done. It was just a matter of executing. And I remember at maybe 2.5 miles into that race, the 5K at the state meet, just being like, I blew it. Like, I'm not running well. Like, we're going to lose. The guys were around me I did not recognize, which was not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other three guys on the team, you know, stepped up. They were all state, and we were able to win. So I think when you have a deeper team, even if it's just, you know, a few guys, they can all take confidence from what not only they're doing, but what everyone else is doing too.
Yeah, it goes back to trusting your training and trusting your teammates. So I think that's always key. So that was kind of the cross-country side. Do you have any breakout races on the track in high school?
Yeah, I think there was a few. Like we said, breaking five for the first time was definitely a big confidence booster. But then I think the next big thing for me was actually indoor track. My sophomore year, I was able to break 4:30 for the full mile for the first time. And that was at Cox Cage at the Yale invite, which is huge. You know,
yeah.
I definitely saw Amon there and all the Syosset guys. So that was always a fun meet for us to go to, but it was also a really good meet. So that gave me confidence that I could make states for the first time on the track. So go to Yale, run that. And then I actually did qualify for the mile at the state meet as a sophomore. And I think once again, that kind of gave me confidence that, hey, maybe there's more here. I think I can be pretty good at this. I was one of the last guys into the state meet, but I made it, went there, was able to kind of compete at that level for the first time. And, you know, that's really what gave me confidence to go out and, you know, try to compete with not just the best guys in my league anymore, but I'll try to, you know, compete with the top guys at the state.
Right. It's definitely a different, like a jump up to the state level. Did competing at the state meet make you realize you wanted to run in college, or is that something you knew beforehand?
I think, you know, anytime you step it up a level of competition, you want to stay there and then see what else it can bring. So after making it, I definitely thought it was a possibility, like, hey, I think I can compete at the, you know, Division 1, Division 2 level, whatever that is. And I think it goes back to the running school for me with talking to some of the counselors who were, you know, at the time they seemed so old, but now looking back, it's like they were just college kids trying to make some money over the summer. But, you know, seeing them compete in college and having them tell me that, hey, like, I think this is something you could do, or, you know, having, you know, like I said, that one teammate who went out to compete at Syracuse, him coming back saying, hey, I think you can be better than me. And that was always something that I strive to do. So, you know, just meeting people who had done it and telling me that they thought I could really made me want to see if I could make it to that next level.
Gotcha. That definitely makes sense. What influenced your decision to attend Furman?
I think the answer to all of these questions, honestly, is going to go back to the running school.
Nice.
I had never heard of Furman University going into my senior year of college. I didn't know where I wanted to go. I knew that I wanted to go Division I, and I knew I wanted to go to a place that I thought had a really good coach, because I was like, if I can get under, you know, a good program, I think I'll end up being good, because I think I'll have what it takes to be, you know, dedicated, and I'll buy in on myself. I just need someone to buy in on me. And I remember talking to Sean Brosnan, who was the head counselor of the Cabin One at the running school. And I had him for a couple years. He now coaches at Newberry Park, who the reigning high school national champion. So he's doing a great job there. But I was talking to him about, hey, like, if you were going through the process right now and you were me, like, what are some schools you would look at? And he brought up Furman. He was like, the coaches just left Ohio State. They're going to start a pro team down there. I think that'd be a really good fit for you. So I remember I as soon as I got back from the running school, I sent out some emails, and I emailed Coach Gary, who is the head coach, still is the head coach at Furman University. And they got back to me, and we kind of started that process. But Sean pointing out, like, hey, I think this is who I would trust to, you know, write training, and me thinking Sean was the best thing since sliced bread. Right. I was like, well, if it's good enough for Sean, it's going to be good enough for me. And that kind of started the recruiting process for me.
Definitely. So to get to Furman, I think they like really broke out during that time. You said they were starting, but they really broke out onto the national scene. What was it like to like build that momentum and really break out as a team on the national level?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really cool experience going down to Furman. I was a part of the, you know, the first recruiting class. I was definitely on the back end of it, but that was the first class that those coaches who are still there had recruited. And they just sell you on the vision of, hey, we are going to build a national program here. And knowing that was something I wanted to be a part of. And we'll get into this later, but it's still something that I have for my recruiting pitch here at GW. But the idea of being a part of something more or less on the ground level, to me, was always more appealing than just going in and being another peg in the machine that's already been built. There's something to be said about both, but for me it was always like starting to build something, and it may have come from, you know, at Bishop Gibbons. That was something I felt like we were able to do, starting from a team that, you know, never won league to winning and then trying to make state and then winning that. But going to Furman and saying like, hey, we think we can get onto the national stage and always be competitive, to my sophomore year we qualified for NCAA cross country for the first time. And then my junior year, we were able to finish 13th in the country.
Wow.
So also having, I guess, a quicker payoff, which you don't always get, just, you know, 3 years in, it's like, okay, we were top 15. The women the next year would go on and they finished 7th at nationals. So I think that was something that always stuck with me, was the idea of building something and getting to be a part of it. Having my name on that was always something that I wanted to do.
Definitely. So there's always some studs down there when you come in 13th in the nation. What was your training group like while you were at Furman?
Yeah, so I lived with, from the majority of my time down at Furman, Troy Reeder, who would go on to break 4 minutes in the mile running professionally for Furman Elite. But we just had a bunch of guys who were, you know, really committed to the grind. And they all did it differently, which I think helped too, because it showed you don't have to go out and hammer every run every day to get good. We did have guys that liked to hammer, you know, every single run, but we would have guys who would just show up and some were, you know, great at the long run or some long intervals and could, you know, kill you on the golf course. But then when you'd get on the track, we had some, you know, really strong mid D guys. And funny enough, we're now that I'm a few years removed and my teammates are either graduating or have graduated, I'm seeing them still continue at the professional level. Aaron Templeton, who runs for Tin Man Elite, you know, his first year, he finished fifth at NCAA cross country his senior year, but then his first year professionally, he goes out and competes really well, finishes runner up at club cross country. And then Frank Lara, who was a kind of a lesser known recruit, although he had made Foot Locker, he's now run, you know, 27:44 for 10K and seems to be, you know, kind of the next big thing in running. Which I'll put this out right now. Frank Lara will be at the 2024 Olympics. So you heard it here first. It's a guarantee. But then Tripp Hurt was captain my first 2 years at Furman. He runs professionally for the
– By the way, Tripp Hurt. I feel like that's an all-time running.
So funny enough, he was a steeplechaser for a while. Yeah. I think he's still working on steeple. But he was actually entered in Running World Magazine's best name competition, and he won. So you're right. People love the name Tripp Hurt, and I was lucky to learn from him for 2 years. He now runs with Emma Coburn's group, the Boss Hard group, out in Colorado. So I think just being surrounded by all these people who are, one, obviously very talented, but two, incredibly, you know, dedicated and motivated and do all the small things right, made me want to be good at them too. And, you know, getting to practice with them was great, but I wanted to compete with them too. So it really kept me going, you know, my 4 years down there.
Definitely. So obviously some huge names in the running world today continue to be studs. You have the Olympic prediction, so keep your eye on that. You heard it here first. So after your 4 years at Furman, what influenced your decision to do a fifth year at GW?
Yeah, so for me, I had gotten hurt in the summer going into my freshman year. So I had some eligibility left. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had not done everything that I could do. I had found some success there. I'd run, you know, 8:18 for 3K. I'd made our, you know, top five for cross country that season, where we'd won conference 4 years in a row. But I knew that I could do more, and I wasn't ready to kind of hang them up. And I feel like most, you know, seniors in college as well, I was like, I have no idea what I wanted to do. I thought that coaching might be an avenue for me, but I wasn't sure, you know, logistically, like, how reasonable is that? Like, so I wanted to do a fifth year somewhere. And someone we were talking about earlier, Jordan Panalone, my high school teammate, he was graduating from George Washington. And we had talked potentially about me transferring there earlier in my running career. So I reached out to Jordan, who kind of set me up with Coach Weir, who's still the head coach at GW. Then I also realized that Ryan DePinto, recurring guest of the pod,
yes,
and also my roommate, was at GW, and I'd always, you know, looked up to Ryan and running, and I knew we'd get along really well. So kind of just reached out to them and a couple other schools, but at the end of the day, like, GW definitely presented the best opportunity for me, and considering I still work there now, I'd say it went really well. But there was definitely a little bit of a risk involved, but once again, it all went back to, like, kind of betting on myself and being like, do I think that this is a place that can really get going? And my fifth year was definitely my best year of college running.
Yeah, I think you're lucky enough to have two great elite like triple threats between Jordan, you, and Jason, and then Jordan, you, and Ryan at GW. So what was it like there? Obviously, you had some great times that you're qualifying for nationals. What was your experience like at GW?
So I had a couple concerns heading to GW from, you know, an established now program like Furman. One, I wasn't sure what the guys were going to be like. I'm used to, you know, running with some cream of the crop recruits, people who were better than me. And I was like I'm stepping up when I race to, like, okay, can I haven't led the charge now since high school. I don't know what that's going to be like at this level. I don't know where you run in Washington, D.C. Furman's in South Carolina. So I was like, we have nothing but dirt roads to run on.
Right.
Now I'm going to be running in, like, the nation's capital. What's that going to be like? And quickly, I was super surprised at how close the GW team was. I think everyone believes, like, oh, no one's as close as my team is in college. Like, we're such a great group of guys. And I was definitely that way with Furman, and I still talk to my college teammates at Furman and GW every day, but it was a pretty seamless transition to GW in that sense, where I realized, like, hey, this is a really cool group of guys. They want to work hard, but they want to have fun too. So I think I learned to balance that a little better at GW. And obviously there's a ton of stuff to do in DC, whether it's going to professional sporting events, concerts, or just anything you could want is going to be there in DC. So that was a nice transition for me. But then once again, the idea of getting to, like, help build a program and just try to get better each week in, week out with the guys was refreshing for me, and it ended up paying, you know, big dividends.
Definitely. So obviously those big dividends include times of 810 in the 3K, 406 in the mile, and 9 minutes in the steeple. Do I have that right?
Yeah, nope. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about that is in high school, I definitely thought I was more of a miler. I was like, I ran the mile all the time. And then at Furman, I think I ran the 1500 twice, and it was at the same meet. It was at our conference championship, so prelims and finals. And that was the only time I had ever run the 1500. So my mile PR was still from my junior year of high school, which was 422. So, in that 1 year at GW, technically, I went from a 422 miler to a 406 miler, but just feeling really good in the training. And then, you know, running 810 was probably the kickstart of those times. I did that indoors, and I knew that, okay, I can make, you know, first round of NCAAs. And I thought it was going to happen the first meet outdoors. I'd worked really hard. I'd had a great, you know, build up. And then I ran, I think, 907 in my first steeple. I was like, okay, good, but not quite there yet. And then I ran 911. I was like, okay, a little worse. And then I ran 910 at our conference meet. I had gone in. I think people would have said I was the favorite, and I finished fourth. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make nationals. And that was my only goal for the whole year, was to make the first round.
Right.
And I remember talking to Coach Weir that week. I'd run 406 already. I'd only run 349 for the 15, and you really have to run 345 high, 346 low to make it. We were like, do we take a gamble on that you can make it in the 1500? 15, you're probably going to have to get in a faster race to do something like that, versus a steeple, you can try to solo or try to do something. And I was like, you know what? I think we should try to do the 15. And then last second, we were like, no, let's stick with what we've been doing. We're going to do the steeplechase. We go to IC4As, do the steeple there. And I remember on the warm-up being like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not going to make it. Like, I'm going to be a disappointment again. Because I felt like every time I'd go to a big meet in college, like, that's what I did. Like, I would go, there'd be a lot of hype, and I would fail. So I remember just constantly I was with the battle with myself on the warm-up. Like, you can do it. No, you can't. You can do it. No, you can't. I said, you know, shut up. Just race. If it happens, great. And if not, who cares? Right. I went out and I ran 9 flat and I qualified. And to this day, it was definitely like my favorite moment. My whole family was there for me. And it was just a really cool experience to see, like, hey, you believed in yourself. You put yourself out there, and it worked out.
Yeah, definitely. I could see you feeling validated after all that hard work leading up to that one moment of qualifying for nationals. Nationals, huge stage. Everyone's watching. What was that experience like for you?
It was really fun. It was a good competition. I don't think I ran my best there, but so a little story here. Troy Reeder, my roommate down at Furman, he had been first team All-American in the steeple 2 years in a row. He was in the heat before me. He's winning his prelim heat, and he hits the last water barrier, flips over, lands on his head, walks it in, doesn't make it. So I watched my best friend literally right before my race goes off, you know, crash hard, bumble, not make it. And so I was like, whew, like, okay, I guess now it's my turn to go. Right. And it was my first time there. I think anytime it's your first time on a stage, it usually doesn't go the best. I think I ran really well. I did much better than what my seed was. I think I went in like 39th out of 48, and I finished 27th. So I was happy with that. But, you know, it's just one of the things, you have to learn how to compete. Even more so than just, you know, getting fit, it's learning how to run in some tactical races, go with the surges, and also understanding that you can compete with the top guys. Just like in high school, it's learning, like, first, you know, whether it's your team, then league, state, like, you have to learn that you can do that. And for me, I think if I had another chance at that meet, I would do much better. But, you know, I had the one, and I didn't fall, so I'll take that.
Yeah, as a guy who's fell in the steeple multiple times, I can say it's a success getting through the line clean. So you transition, graduate fifth year at GW. How did you transition into assistant coaching?
Yeah, so my fifth year, Coach Weir had done all the coaching. His assistant had left the summer heading into my fifth year, and he didn't hire anyone. I let it be known pretty early on in my fifth year that, hey, like, I think coaching is what I want to do. He was like, you know, can't promise you anything, but if the position is still available, we'll interview you, and, you know, we'll talk about it. finished my fifth year. The team had done really well. And, you know, talking with Coach Weir, he was like, you know, I think you had a big impact on that. And if you'd be interested, we'd love to kind of keep you around. So crazy fortunate, you know, timing is everything, that I just happened to be, you know, competing for GW when they didn't have an assistant coach and they needed to bring someone in. So I was able to kind of skip, you know, the volunteering or having to work my way up, and I got a paid position right away. And now I'm in, you know, year three there. Last year we had an individual qualifier for cross country nationals on the women's side, and we finished second on the women's side in the conference, which is the highest we've ever finished. So, it's been great kind of getting to now work at the same place I competed on the other side of it, because I do feel I understand what it's like being a student athlete in DC, you know, balancing all those distractions and the academics. Although the academics, I don't know if I was as invested as some of these other student athletes, but having competed there, I think I really understand kind of both sides of it. So it's been nice to now stay on the other side and kind of bring some more people in.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like you've done a good job adjusting after kind of thrown into the deep end, like skipping volunteering and all that. But I also, so it sounds like you're doing a great job there. So I commend you on that. And but you're also continuing to compete post-collegiately with the district track club. What was it like to turn pro?
So with that, I'm coaching with district track club as well.
Yes.
So, and that's even more, once again, timing is everything with this. I was walking back from work at GW. I had just gotten off the metro and I saw someone walking their dog. And I was like, I think that's Coach Brumlick, the head coach of district track club. Mm-hmm. I was just like, hey, Tom. He turned around. It was him. We started talking on the street there. He goes, hey, you know, I could use some help at practice. Why don't we meet up for coffee this week and just see if we think this is something that could work out. So I met up with him that next week and was like, hey, you know, I really would love to help coach, just learn from you. It's primarily an 800 meter group. So I was like, I don't know a ton about the 800. It's not my forte. I did it a few times, but I'd love to kind of help out with the group however you need. And he kind of brought me on after that. And that was the fall of 2019. And I just started, you know, showing up to practice when I could, and then, you know, trying to make the most of it when COVID came along. I had a lot more time in my hands, so I was able to start going to practice, help out with some time trials, help out a little more on kind of the business side of the track as well. And it's been great getting to be a part of that. You know, we're sponsored with Under Armour, and just getting to see kind of how that side of the track world works has been phenomenal.
Yeah, similar to Fremont when you got there, and similar to GW, like two programs that were rebuilding and district track club that was kind of just starting and breaking onto the scene now. What's that been like to do that and see the program grow?
Yeah, so it's been great to get to work with Coach Brumlick with district and all the guys and girls there. You know, they've been phenomenal just to get to watch, see them put in that work every day. You know, one of the highlights would definitely be, you know, one of our guys, Edos. He ran 144.8 during what we like to call, you know, the COVID season. And it was really just a time trial at a high school that we get to use the facilities of and we work pretty closely with. So it was just our guys. We had a rabbit. And I remember watching it. And, you know, obviously anytime it's a fast 800, it's going to look fast. But I was like, I think these guys are really moving today. And Edos comes through and he didn't tie up until maybe the last 20 meters. And he runs 144.8, which is a pretty, you know, big PR for him. Ends up being, you know, national record. At the time, it was the second fastest time in the world that year. I think he finished up around 12th, but getting to be a part of that, even if it was a smaller part, was huge. And just, you know, they inspired me to be a better coach and, you know, working with Tom. And then there's things that I can bring back to GW as well. So I think the group was only founded in 2016, 2017. So it's still very, very young group. But, you know, we have three guys that have qualified for world championships. Jasmine Frey's on the team, another New Yorker. And she's the indoor collegiate 800 meter record holder. So it's a very talented group. And, you know, I think some really big things are going to happen in 2021 for us.
Yeah, definitely looking forward. Keep your eye on the district track club. You're still running, still competing. How are the legs feeling? How are you doing lately?
Yeah, so it's been interesting kind of maneuvering through this whole thing and, you know, wearing so many hats in the running world that I have been with coaching. It's been tough. But this past March, I actually went out to Boulder and I was there for 4 or 5 weeks. probably not the best move on my end, but right. I logged my first 100 a week out there. And then I ended up doing another 4 in a row. So I was logging some pretty serious mileage out in Boulder. And then I came back. I thought I was the fittest I'd ever been, but there just weren't a ton of, you know, racing opportunities for me. So that was hard. And I kind of stepped away a little bit in September, October. I was ready to be done with it, honestly, just because I was like, I love coaching. I love working with these athletes. And I started lifting more with my roommate, Ryan. But as we started to do that more, it ended up being just kind of a long break. And, you know, my body felt better. I felt fresh. I did have some nice races over the summer. I ran at a road mile championship for the Collegiate Road Mile Championship. So basically, it's this organization. They put on races for people who are still taking classes but don't have college eligibility. And they put together some nice prize money. So since I'm still getting my master's at GW, I was eligible, and we ran 4:13 in the championship, but we negative split 2:11, 2:02. And I lost by a 10th of a second. So that sucked because it was double the prize money for first and second. Mm-hmm. But so I was still competing, and then I kind of lost that fire a little bit just with no races. I'm doing a lot of coaching. I felt like I was, you know, it was just taking away from my other avenues. But, you know, getting back into, you know, lifting and being competitive with my roommate, you know, really kind of lit that fire again. So I'm now kind of getting back into the swing of working out, feeling pretty fit. And, you know, basically I'm just trying to stay ready. So if I decide that I do want to race in 2021, I can, and it won't take, you know, months of hard work to get back to where I was.
Right. I think that's the right mindset. Like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I was going to bring up the road mile because you got a Studley post-race shirtless interview. So I had, I saw that. So that was definitely cool to see you getting out there. But yeah, so what do you think is next for you with coaching and running? What are some of your goals?
So next for me, it's definitely the first thing coming up is we're going to have a winter cross country season. Right. I think, you know, first one ever. But so we're getting ready for that. It looks like our first race is going to be February 5th. So I'm excited to see kind of how the team does coming back. I can't wait to get to see them and work with them because we weren't on campus this fall. So I'm all in on seeing how GW does this upcoming year and building something there. You know, like I said, I think we've been able to kind of take a step up the rung on the ladder every year I've been there, and including a few years before I got there. And now it's like, we're ready to, you know, try to win some conference championships at the Atlantic 10 level. Mm-hmm. But I tell this to everyone on the team, I tell it to all our recruits, and I mean it when I say it, you know, we're getting ready to try to take a swing at qualifying for cross country nationals. That's going to be our goal. We've sent people individually now to both first round of NCAAs and track and cross country nationals. So we've done it on the individual level, and we're coming to do it on the team level. So any recruits out there that are looking to be a part of that, you know where to go. But we're really happy with what we've been building, and I'm excited to see us take kind of that next step for this winter season, but more so even next fall. And then, you know, working with District Track Club, it's all geared towards the Olympics. Trying to get people ready, hit that standard, and have as many people representing their countries, themselves, and district at the 2021 games. We had one person, Alex Amakwa. He ran at the 2016 games before he joined district, so we're hoping to get him back there. And then we had two other people run at the 2019 World Championships. So we're hoping to send as many people as we can on the men's and women's to Tokyo to represent, you know, District Track Club. And then for myself, really between those two, it's that's perfect for me. And then if I can get fit and compete too, that's just the cherry on top. But for me, it's really all about just helping those two teams be the best they can be.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like you've got like a great setup, best of both worlds, like college side, pro side, and you're still getting out there some fast running stages.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to be in the position that I am in. I wouldn't be here without Coach Weir at GW and Coach Brumlick with district taking a chance on me. Hopefully it works out for them, but for now I'm really, really excited about it. And I guess one side goal, I kind of have a thing going a joke with my roommate about seeing who can bench more. So he's benched 225, but he weighs a little more. So I think my goal is if I could put up 185 on the bench press this year, we'll call it a win.
Yeah, I know Ryan was always big on benching, so it doesn't surprise me at all. So I'm looking forward.
Yeah, so he really got me into that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for coming on. I love that you continue to bet on yourself. I commend you for that, definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, and I seriously, it means a lot coming on the pod. It's been great seeing you grow that out and seeing you kind of follow your own path. I think it's a great example of it's not always straight and narrow, but you know, you figure it out, you keep it going, you find the love for the sport. So I appreciate you having me on. I think what you're doing here is great, and I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, man. Just two more questions before I let you go. A couple wrap up questions. I should have included this in my question sheet, but I asked it to all my guests. And the question is, if you could have dinner with any dead celebrity or athlete, who would it be?
Wow, that's a tough one. And yeah, it's funny because I actually just asked this to my brother the other day. Oh. If I, any athlete, that's tough. I feel like I should go with a runner. Ooh, that's a really tough one. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about it some more.
Okay. There's a popular runner answer that I think you may be overthinking it.
I feel like, does everyone go pre?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not going to go pre.
Okay.
I'll say I won't go pre. I'm tempted just to say LeBron James, just because I'm a big Lakers guy, and you know, he's had success in several different places, faced a lot of adversity, kind of that he brought on by himself. Mm-hmm. Or going from there, I might go Kobe Bryant.
That's the other number two answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. Thank you very much again. And the last question we got for you is, what would you like your outro song to be?
Oh, we got to go Cake by Rihanna.
Cake by Rihanna. I love that. It's true to form right there. Thank you very much, Matt. And we'll get you on again soon sometime.
I appreciate it, Iman.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. All right.